This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, advice for helping family and friends who have eating disorders deal with the holidays. First up, high school students from underserved areas who are interested in future careers in law can benefit from the Law and Leadership Institute. It's a statewide nonprofit initiative offering a four-year academic program. LLI works with organizations in the legal community, such as the Ohio State Bar Association, and it's served more than 350 high school students on 8 law school campuses across Ohio. Joining us to discuss how this nonprofit program is making a difference in the community is former attorney, board president, and CEO of LLI, Steve Jamison, also LLI Executive Director Heather Creed, and Assistant Director of the Center for Professional Development at the University of Cincinnati College of Law, Diane Cross. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number to call is 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Steve, Heather, and Diane, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Steve, tell us how the Law and Leadership Institute got its start.
Well, back in 2008, a number of prominent lawyers, including the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Moyer, and the former Attorney General of Ohio, they were in a meeting and they were lamenting about the fact that the number of minority lawyers, especially the number of black lawyers, was actually going the wrong way, and they wanted to do something about it. And so they decided, let's look around and see if somebody has figured out a way to do this. And they found a program in New York called Legal Outreach that takes high school students and gives them the skills that make them potentially successful for college and successful for on to law school. And they've been very successful overall, and they've been operating 25 or 30 years. And so these prominent lawyers said, if they can do it, we can do it. So in 2008, they started it in Columbus as a pilot and in Cleveland, and expanded it to 6 cities in Ohio and 8 law schools the following year. And so we've been going ever since. And now we have, as you said, about 350 high school students around the state of Ohio, recruited from the worst performing high schools. With our goal of taking them raw and giving them the skills to be successful.
Heather, how much support are you getting from the legal community for this program?
Tremendous support. It's really where they're our biggest supporters, especially the State Bar Foundation, right from the beginning, has been our primary funder. But we get the law firms and the bar associations across the state are very supportive, not just financially, but we give students the opportunity in their 10th grade year to do internships with law firms. And so many of them, even if they're not able to help us financially, especially public interest organizations, give our students that opportunity to see what it's like to work in a legal environment. They come in as speakers and mentors. They host our students in a lot of different ways. So we're very indebted to the legal community.
So they see the value in this.
Absolutely, yes.
And even beyond that, the Greater Cincinnati Foundation is a grantor. Procter & Gamble is a grantor for us as well. So, plus, we get great support from Diane and the law school.
Yeah, Diane, tell me about the role that you see as playing in this program.
Well, I feel like I have the best role because I get to see the program in action. The University of Cincinnati College of Law serves as a host site for the 9th through 12th grade program. And so we are one of 6 cities where the program is seen out. With what Heather was saying, we're really lucky here in Cincinnati. I know there's a bunch of support statewide, but here in Cincinnati, we have a significant local support from, we have over 30 attorneys volunteer their time over the summer to come in individually or as part of their firm. We have several firms that host our students for internships that really helps my job become a little bit more successful, and the students have the best opportunity during the program.
You get to see the program in action.
Right.
Give me some insights on that. What's that like?
Well, I have become more well-versed on high school lingo and see the students transition from a rising 9th grader to a graduating 12th grader, and that is really phenomenal. For example, in giving the description of LLI, we do try to recruit from underserved communities and to be able to see students who otherwise would not have these resources see their light bulb come on and see that click, whether or not it's to pursue a career in law, but to see them understand what their goals are and to know that they have the resources to achieve them is very humbling.
It's exciting to see students who are typically in environments where it's not cool to be smart. It's not, you know, nobody, you're going to be made fun of if you do well in school or want to do well in school, and put them in an environment with students who are coming from similar schools and yet are college bound. They want something different for their future. And so it's exciting to see what that does to a student and how that kind of changes their outlook when they're able to be with like-minded peers.
And I think it's also important to note that the program is very intensive and they elect to be there. So I'm always taken aback by they are consistently academically challenged outside of the required high school curriculum, and they enjoy it. And they enjoy the peers in which they're working with, they are challenged by it, and they are eager to proceed with the program.
And think about it. We're taking these students during the summer from 9 to 4 every day for 5 weeks. And we're giving them opportunities to write on a regular basis, to speak in front of other people on a regular basis. They participate in mock trials. I actually saw the kids in the mock trials this past spring, and it was just amazing to see. They looked and acted just like real lawyers. So it's exciting to see the transition. I also remember, you know, one kid saying, you know, when he came in, you know, he was just a shy kid, and he wasn't sure that he had a future. And as he progressed through LLI, he realized he could have a future. The future could be anything. It could be law, but it could be some other profession. And so that belief is a lot of what it takes in order to be successful.
Heather, what are those mock trials like?
They're fun. They're really a chance for the students to kind of express a little flair for the courtroom drama, but it also challenges them a lot intellectually. They have to think on their feet. You know, parts of it are scripted, but a lot of it you can't script. And so I forget, because I'm pretty comfortable talking to a room full of strangers, what it's like to be a high school student standing in front of your peers and your families and a judge on a bench and speak, and you see them nervous before they're getting ready to do the trial. And then you just see them perform, and it's really impressive to see what they're able to accomplish. And it, as Steve said, you know, sometimes I think we could drop them in a courtroom and they might do better.
Better than me.
No offense, Barr.
Well, Heather, Steve was talking about how you have the session during the summer, but this is a year-round program, right? Even when they're in their school year, they're still doing things.
It is, yes. We meet on 10 Saturdays during the academic year for about 5 hours. So not only are they giving up a big chunk of their summer, but also coming on Saturdays to do more of the academic work. We end our academic year with all of our sites around the state coming to Columbus to have a big event at the Supreme Court, where they do the mock trials. They also present leadership projects. So each site has identified an issue in the community that they develop a plan to address. So we're not just about law. We really are law and leadership. So we're looking for ways for the students to figure out how they can be leaders in their community as well. So they present those projects there. We recognize our graduating seniors. So that it's really a full year commitment. And I think actually a 4-year commitment, but as you said, year round. And I think that makes a difference, that it's not just a summer camp. We really are working with them to help make their academic experience better, and you really need to work with them during the school year in order to make that happen.
Well, and especially with our 12th graders, I would say spring of your 11th grade, the summer prior to your 12th grade year and your 12th grade year, being able to provide that academic support for college readiness really helps our students make sure they're not missing any steps and have that added support for ACT prep, understand what schools out there that might be of interest to them other than what they're limitedly exposed to here in Cincinnati. So I think it's absolutely mm-hmm. critical that we're with them during the academic year to make sure come graduation
right.
and that their goals are achieved.
And Diane's right, that senior year we work with them actually on their college applications. So we help them think through what would be a good fit for them financially, academically, really in all ways, and help them think maybe more broadly than they might normally do. So what are some schools that might be a little bit of a reach, but what are some schools that you already were considering, and help them with that process?
So, Heather, what's the do you know what the rate is of students who move from this program into law in college?
Well, our first group of students are currently seniors in college, so we don't know about law school yet because they haven't had that opportunity. But as far as going on to four-year universities, it's right around 95% statewide. So when you look at the schools that they're coming from, where graduation rates are anywhere from 60 to 70%, we consider that to be quite a victory that we have not all of our students graduate from high school, but not only that, going on to college is pretty exciting.
So what other schools are involved in this? UC is one, but what are the other schools around the state?
Sure. That are part of this? University of Dayton, Capital, OSU's Moritz College of Law, Akron, Cleveland Marshall, Case Western, and Toledo. So our six largest cities, all the law schools in those cities.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation about the LLI, the Law and Leadership Institute. And Steve, when the kids enter the program, do you see them changing their minds about, they might have had this notion about what it means to be an attorney, what it's like to be an attorney, but then they get in the program and all of a sudden it's like, it's nothing like I thought it would be. Does that happen?
Yes, yes. When the kids come in, just like actually when I went to law school, I wasn't sure what exactly it meant to be an attorney, but we ensure that they understand firsthand, because the first year what we do is we bring in lawyers to talk to them every day. So they get an idea of what it's like. And by the time, they get through 4 years, they have a pretty good idea of what it's like to be an attorney. But it's more than just trying to prepare kids so that they could be an attorney. It's preparing kids for whatever they want to be in life, because the ability to write, the ability to speak, the ability to act professionally in a professional environment, all these are skills that can help you be successful no matter what you do. And so, yes, I'd like to see more lawyers, but I would like to see kids who have a better understanding of the law go out into society and make a difference.
We will continue our conversation about the Law and Leadership Institute. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. We're talking about the Law and Leadership Institute with former attorney, board president, and CEO of LLI, Steve Jemison, along with LLI Executive Director Heather Creed, and Assistant Director of the Center for Professional Development at the University of Cincinnati College of Law, Diane Cross. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Steve, do you see a preference among the kids? Do most of them lean toward being defense attorneys or prosecuting attorneys if they're on the criminal side of things?
Well, I think we'll pass this one to Diane, but as best I can tell, okay. When they first come in, everybody wants to be on a criminal defense lawyer.
And that's what they spend their first year on, right? The freshman year is a lot of criminal law.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right, and they also prepare a mock trial that ends their summer, and they're currently working on a mock trial that will end in March, and students are very eager. I'm surprised, actually, that not more students are eager to be attorneys. They really get into the role of witnesses. It could be dramatic. there are students who love the work of an attorney but are a little less a little more hesitant to speak. And so it really shakes itself out nicely where the folks who want to be attorneys are attorneys, the people who want to be a witness and be have the opportunity to be sassy or dramatic, and those who really want to put the work into creating inquisitive lines of questioning can all have that role. But it's really – what's most neat is to see them go from having no idea – of what a mock trial is to performing it better than some folks do at the university level, I think, in my biased opinion.
I think a lot of students want to do whatever results in the big office. Sometimes it's not as much about the work, but the lifestyle that they aspire to.
But in order to do this, even as a witness, you're speaking. You're in front of a lot of people. And so it's just one more skill to develop. Because just like we're speaking here, you know, all of us along the way have to do a good job of it in order to be successful. So that's just one element.
And that's the feedback that I get most from students, in that if LLI, of the skills that LLI is building, it's the public speaking and the confidence and the ability to converse to appropriate audiences.
Right.
So ninth grade, you spend looking at criminal law. What do you do in 10th grade? Where's it head there?
So 10th grade is when we shift to more civil or constitutional focus and really preparing them for the internship that they do at the end of their 10th grade summer. So we talk about the different areas of law, different types of attorneys, essentially, the different ways that you can practice law. I think criminal law, which they did in their ninth grade year, is also what they tend to be most familiar with from TV. You know, that's the Law and Order and even Judge Judy or whatever the case might be. And so
or the People's Court or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're trying to expose them to the different, you know, what is corporate law and what's public interest law? What are all the different areas that you can practice in? So that in the end of the 10th grade summer, they spend a week with a legal employer. And like I mentioned earlier, it could be a law firm, it could be legal aid, it could be a court, where they really are seeing, okay, what is it like to do this on a day-to-day basis? But they have a little bit of the substantive knowledge so they can actually participate. So we don't want our students just filing papers or going on field trips in that internship experience. We want it to be as much like practicing law as possible. So they'll do mock problems with the attorneys, draft mock contracts or will disputes or a client examination to try to get a sense of what it actually is to practice law.
When they get to the 11th grade, Heather, what comes in that year?
Well, they might find it a little less exciting because that's really when we shift our focus to preparing for college. So we do a lot of ACT preparation. But the fun part that we hope will keep them engaged is we do visit colleges. So they go to three, sometimes four colleges or universities in Ohio, or our Cincinnati group even ventured over to Indiana for one of their visits this summer. So we're really trying to help them now apply the skills that they've been building to take them, build that vision for the next level and what's going to happen there.
And what's 12th grade? Is that more college preparation?
It is. Okay. And yeah, that's when it kind of goes college preparation, full speed, really start looking at the applications, drafting their personal statements for those applications, more college visits.
Scholarships,
a lot of writing, really trying to take it to the next level.
Steve, what's the application process and who's eligible to be part of the program?
Well, most of our recruiting, like I think we said when we first started, most of the recruiting is at the inner city schools because we're targeting kids whose opportunities might be more limited and where the schools may be underperforming and where the kids have a tougher time. So anybody can go on the website and the website will provide information about, you know, how to apply. And basically, the kids write an essay, they get a recommendation, and we review the applications and then pick from that. But we really target kids who come from families where there maybe no one has ever gone to college, or they live in underserved areas with schools that aren't performing as well as we would like.
What are some of the schools that you're drawing kids from?
Well, here in Cincinnati, we have folks from Walnut Hills, Princeton, Western High, Hughes, Euler. And probably several more, depending on the year. Mason, we have folks all the way out in Mason.
One of our limitations is we do provide public transportation, you know, bus passes to the students. So we try to make it so that they're not, if they are going to use the bus pass, that they wouldn't be commuting, you know, for an hour to get to the law school. The sessions are held at the law school. So if we start getting too far out, those who would need to use public transportation, sometimes that becomes problematic.
Yeah, probably 95%+ of the kids come from the six cities come from within the inner city, with a few outliers.
When do you start taking applications for the next round?
Generally, we start around this time of year. We're putting a little hiatus on recruiting this year. So, as Steve said, the best route right now is going to be to continue to just check the website for when applications are going to be accepted.
Heather, how effective is this at helping kids from an academic standpoint? What are the kids telling you? Are they getting a lot out of this?
I think they are. It's hard. Like Diane said, it's a lot of extra work on top of what they're already doing in school. So we see, we've hired an independent contractor to evaluate the program, and we see objectively that their writing skills are improving, their public speaking skills are improving, their studying skills are improving, and that translates into their performance in high school as well.
And, you know, in the inner city, basically about 60% of the kids finish high school. Almost 100% of the kids that go through our program actually go on to college. So I think that is evidence.
That's very good, yes.
Yes. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
And, you know, I hear comments from the students as simple as, it helped me prepare in social studies when X lesson was being taught. I already knew that, too. I had no idea this college existed, and I didn't know I was a good candidate to go to that mm-hmm. school. I didn't know how to apply to these scholarships, and so helping connect those dots.
Right. We're all about building the most opportunities possible. So part of that is the skill building. Part of it is vision building for knowing what is possible and what will create the most opportunities for their future.
Yeah. Another thing that's really important that I'd be remiss in my job is mostly development, actually. I'm retired from P&G, and so I spend a lot of my time trying to find the funds because it costs just under $2,000 a year per kid. So we get a lot of support, and we're always looking for some more because it's expensive. We hired law students to teach the kids during the summer. We only have two full-time managers to run the program throughout the whole state of Ohio, so we operate very efficiently. But finding money, just like any other nonprofit, is the hardest task.
Mm-hmm. Heather, what are the plans for the program's future?
Well, we are always hoping to make sure we're strengthening what we're providing to the students programmatically. So that's our number one goal. We hope to, at some point in the future, create more of a bridge so that we are providing more support post-graduation as well. So going to college and then hopefully in college as well to make sure that they don't lose the support that they've already gained in our community that we're providing in high school. But as Steve said, it's always dependent on if we have the funds to do it.
That's always the case. Steve is shaking his head.
Yes, it's hard work, but it's worth it.
Yes. Steve, Heather, and Diane, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Former attorney, board president, and CEO of the Law and Leadership Institute, Steve Jemison, along with LLI Executive Director Heather Creed, and Assistant Director of the Center for Professional Development at the University of Cincinnati College of Law, Diane Cross. Coming up, how to help family and friends who have eating disorders deal with the holidays. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.